will help to manage mailboxes and aliases provided. You know, the aliases, like for instance, those are on our website, for a perfect example, my email is donna.pomerantz@ccbnet.org. And that basically points to my direct email account, which is the dpomerantz@earthlink.net. So that's an example of what an alias is. So we have someone managing that component. And as Bernice mentioned earlier, we are working on the Facebook administration. We do have administrators in place, and the page is being worked on. And that will be created, as Bernice stated. The board also asked that our president be one of the administrators, so Jeff will be one of the administrators as well. And so that is getting started and moving forward. The fourth component, of course, is the website administration. And the administrators of that area are basically assisting in the upkeep and the management of CCB's website. And this includes developing and maintaining new and existing web pages. And this person will basically play, or this group, these folks, will play a key role in the creation of the actual structure, management of the new environment once we get on board with Drupal, which is the content management side of it. The fifth component is the data backup administration. And we also have researching possibilities on that. And they're looking at prices and stability. And so that is now starting to move forward again. As Bernice stated, since Joel moved on, we kind of, started, these folks basically stepped up and are a very cohesive, hardworking group, the technical operations group. Some of the things that are happening, and you may be seeing some new looks or some new features. Mm-hmm. Perfect example is we have one now who is regularly posting the connection. And you will probably be seeing easier ways to navigate by using headings so that from your screen reader you can search it heading by heading, and also the titles of those headings will be changed to further assist people with low vision as well. So that's an example of what's going on. Another thing that the technical operations group is working on is a pilot listserv. And what we are hoping to do is be able to offer listservs to chapters if you would like to have a listserv. So that's why we're starting with this pilot. And it seems to be going very well. Sometimes people have a hard time, backing up. The reason for this thinking is to promote further chapter discussion in between meetings. And a lot of people have a hard time with larger email distribution lists and stuff. So that's why the group is piloting the listserv, and hopefully we'll be able to offer that as a service to chapters if they would like listservs on the ccbnet.org. And the pilot seems to be going very well so far. We just started that. The group also has all of some of the older content that was previous on the website. So that has been put in one single place. Joel has been available here and there to assist in transition, but now pretty much the group is working very well together and working on some of these logistical issues. So I don't know if anyone has any questions. As I shared, Bernice pretty much gave most of the report, but I just wanted to break it down into these five areas so that folks could know that it is moving forward, and it's a wonderful, cohesive group, and the folks that are working in this technical operations group are very knowledgeable. They're teaching me a great deal, and the group is just wonderful to work with because everyone is also teaching each other and sharing openly and back each other up, which, yeah, that's right. So there is a lot of teaching going on in all directions as well, so that if one person may not be available, then there'll be someone there to back them up just in case. We do have the technical operations group also now watching the the webmaster email. So if there are still any if there are any problems, or if anyone sees anything, you know, for instance, we received an email stating that there was a link that wasn't working on the website, and the group was able to take care of it. In closing, I know that the group was asked to do some, you know, corrections and fixes to the convention program. However, folks were so busy getting that up and such, you know, we just weren't able to do that at this point. But it's a wonderful group, and I'm learning a great deal, and I'll take any questions from anyone if they have any, but that's my report. Yes.
Who are the members of the technical operations group?
You asked who are the members of the technical operations group?
Yes.
Okay, because you were a little echoey, sorry. We have a gentleman by the name of Greg Fowler. We have a gentleman by the name of Phil Obregon. Greg is from Northern California. Phil Obregon from Southern California. Jeremy Johansson is from Northern California. And why am I know I'm forgetting. John Glass is from Northern California. I'm sorry. And we also have Bonnie Rennie and Susan Schulter and Judy Wilkinson and Tom Randall and Bernice Kandarian. And Bernice, am I forgetting anyone?
You.
Well, me.
We have a new person that's starting the code for today. Roger.
Well, yes, Roger has, you know, Roger has even stepped in and assisted when we were dealing with some issues of trying to get the convention program up on the website. The group really worked well together, and Roger even came in and helped doing some coding and things too. So, you know, Roger, we thank you for that as well. The group is just great in backing each other up, and when someone gets into an issue, someone else just steps right in and helps and says, you know, can I help you do half of it? Or, you know, it's just great. So those are the folks. Any other questions? Chris.
You know, Donna, thank you very much for, Peter asked half my question. I was curious about the group. Mm-hmm. And if you could at some point, I don't need you to do it tonight, but maybe if on the board list you'd let us know the person in charge of different areas, because and this leads me to my other point. I want to acknowledge and thank you for your help with all of my long, arduous, attached-filled messages. almost all of which were bouncing around and not being posted to the board list. So thank you for authorizing those. But I think it's important that we know on the board who is responsible for certain specific areas. And if you could just let us know that on the board list at some point, I would very much appreciate that. And thanks again for your help.
Well, you're very welcome. You know, I absolutely love CCB, and I'm glad that I was able to provide some assistance. What we did for your messages and all the messages from now on is we just basically increased the size, and so no one's attachments or anything will be bouncing. We just increased the message size because we're not getting any spam or anything. So that was a reason that we actually had it a little smaller to start with. But since things seem to be going very well, I went ahead and increased. And you know, it was fortunate that every time you would send something, I happened to be sitting right there, and I started thinking, gee, do I have a life? I'm always here right when it comes in. So anyway,
just looking out for me.
Yeah, there should be no more bounces of anything. So you know, we increase that size because we're pretty safe and have very good security. So that's a good thing.
I have one more question, Donna.
Yes, Peter.
Basically, when you guys get Drupal up and running, we provide an opportunity for chapters to have their own web page?
Yes. That is the goal. That is another service that the group wishes to provide. We would like every chapter who is interested to be able to have its own website and provide training so that someone designated from within each chapter can populate it with content and so on and so forth. So not only can chapters have their own listservs, they will be able to have their own websites as well, or web pages.
And Donna.
President?
Yes,
okay.
Ken.
I heard Dan.
Yeah. Good evening, board and members and everyone and out. I would like to take a second and really thank Donna and her group for all this work as the original webmaster who probably caused all the problems on that site. I'm really excited at what you're doing, and keep up the good work. And you know, it's a very, very difficult job you're undertaking to try to get it all to work for all the interests that are around CCB. So thank you for your hard work.
Okay. Did I hear
you're
Ken?
Yes.
Once you get everything established, especially where the various chapters will be able to participate, and I know this is probably a little long range, but will we plan to do a couple of workshops so that the chapter people from each chapter, members of each chapter, will have some training so they know how to utilize some of the information that you're putting out there?
Yes, there will be training and workshops because our goal is to be able to support each chapter that chooses to have its own web environment and such within the CCB environment. So yes, there will be training and all of that. We're not just going to throw you in the water and say, swim. So yes, there will.
Thank you.
That's right.
Any other questions?
Okay, yeah.
I just wanted to say really quick, none of this would be happening if it wasn't for this wonderful group of people who were just eager to step up to the plate. And I don't know, you know, if anyone is in the room from the group, but we got through a real stressful period with the convention stuff coming on board when Joel left, and the whole group just pulled together, and I just want to thank each and every person because it wouldn't be happening without them. So thank you.
I'm going to mention it again tomorrow, but and so I won't really do it now other than a brief sentence, but I too am really thrilled at not only what's been done up to this point, but the future potential based on how cohesive this group is, and the few people I've talked to in the group are just really happy to work together, getting some people in there like Jeremy and Greg and some of these people that really have some outstanding skills. We're really lucky. So, okay, we have a motion from Chris, and I don't know if I ever heard a second.
Second.
We had a bunch of seconds. To accept the report of Donna's report, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, and the report is accepted. Okay, let's now go to Linda Zanolski. Are you in the room? Well, unfortunately, she may not be in, but we need to get this done. We need to do a pleasant task, and that is to ratify a mail-in vote that the board took, a wonderful and easy vote, unanimous one it was, to grant a charter and a $500 stipend to the Coachella Valley chapter in Palm Springs. Linda Zamolski is its president, so far as I am aware, unless they have a new one in the last recent time, but as far as I know, Linda is still going to be its president. They have turned in their constitution, their dues, their roster, and so I would entertain a motion to ratify our vote on this matter.
So moved.
There's many motions and only one second. Lena gets the second.
Second.
Another second. Okay, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, I'm going to just a comment. Oh, let's hear it. This is great. I'm going to recommend it. The reason it didn't happen sooner was basically that I had slipped up and not gotten it to the last phone conference meeting. If I had, they would have had their delegate material in time. I've recommended, and I think I've heard no disagreement from Rob on this, and I hope Rob is going to recommend with his committee that they be seated. We can't do that. That's not within our province here, but hopefully they will be seated for their delegation under this circumstance. They have that in. They have their information in there. Is that? I don't know if Rob's in the room, but I think they do have their information in. So hopefully that will happen. We will present the charter on. Yeah, Ed says they do. We will present them their charter on Saturday evening in a formal manner. But anyway, that's just great to have another chapter. And you know, we're hoping for more. On the negative side, there's a chapter or two, I think, that I'm going to urge the new president to look at next year that we didn't get Rogers from at all this year, and we may need to see if any action should be taken, but we can postpone that until next year. So, with that, let us now move on to item 9, first we will take item A under 9, which is spring meal rates for the DoubleTree. The prices are really pretty good that we were quoted. $15 for breakfast inclusive. That means inclusive of the tax.
And gratuity?
And gratuity, too?
And gratuity, yes. Okay. Yes. $22 for lunch and $29 for dinner. Now, I would say this, though, before we decide what we're going to set it at. I suspect that what they'll offer us for the banquet, that the new president may decide we need something a little better, because frequently the offerings are not quite good enough for what you want for a banquet. So I'm not sure I would set, I'm not sure I think that $30 is enough for the banquet, that maybe we might need this one of it to be $35. But nonetheless, that's still a good set of prices. So I will entertain a motion then on setting prices for next spring's meals.
At what rates?
Well, I'll entertain. I can tell you what I would do. I will do that. Other people may have different ideas. I would do, $15 for breakfast.
Yeah, 25.
25 for lunch. 30 for the president's dinner. and 35 for the banquet is what I would do.
Mr. President, I would so move that we do that, as well as realize that there could be a change when the new president comes in.
Oh, yeah. This can always be brought up to the
just
board.
So we're flexible. That's all.
Yes. This is not set in stone.
I will so move.
Mr. President, before there's a second, I'd like to ask a question.
Sure.
If we think this may change, this doesn't have to, how soon do we have to have this knowledge? Because if we're going to leave it till the new president, we might as well leave it till the first of the year.
I'm not saying it will change. This is what we've been quoted in our, in what we accepted, but you never know. Stranger things have happened.
What are we charging for lunches at this convention?
We are charging, what, 20?
It's 20.
20.
20, isn't it?
Yeah, 20. We don't have a second yet for the motion.
And what are we paying?
We're charging 25 here.
25 we're here, charging
25 for lunches here.
Yeah. Okay.
And breakfast. And breakfast,
yes.
25.
Right.
President's 30, banquet.
Okay, so we're charging 25 for lunches and breakfast. 35 for the president's dinner. Well, hold it, Kathy. I'm trying to tell everybody. We're charging 25 for lunches and breakfasts, 35 for the president's dinner, and 4 for the banquet. Under this motion, it would be 15 for breakfast, 25 for lunches, 30 for the president's dinner. Actually, we're 30 for the president's dinner here. And we'd still be charging 30 for the president's dinner and only 35 for the banquet. So it would go down a little bit, at least for the banquet.
But on the luncheon, the prices that we have to pay in at the DoubleTree, are they higher than the ones we're having to pay here?
No, they're a little lower, in at least in terms of the in terms of the total cost, they're a little lower. We wouldn't really be subsidizing if these prices come through. I'm a little concerned about the banquet because sometimes what they offer isn't good enough, and the president may opt to try and get something a little better. You never know for sure. That's the only one I'd really be concerned about, and that's why I didn't want to stick to 30.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the 25 for the lunch. I'm wondering how many people will do that.
We're doing it this year.
We're doing it this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the lunches this year were 25.
25, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean 20, excuse me.
No, 25.
25.
We're doing it now, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so we have a motion and a second for 15, 25, 30, and 35.
Yeah.
And is there discussion? Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, the motion is passed. So we will now go to item B. And for this, until we actually get to the debate itself, I'm going to turn it over to Gene because we are now on fall convention sites.
Okay. Again, I want to thank the convention committee for the preparations it did on October 20th, going through a very difficult task. Last year I thought it was difficult, but this year it was even more difficult. And then I need to, everyone, the convention committee and is made up of Ken Metz, Andy Baracco, Richard Urea, Leslie Tom, Rex, Ransom, pardon me, Rex. Jeff Tom,
Mary Beth
Randall, and who else? And Peter Pardini, and Claudetta Davis. Okay. Then I need to thank also Ed Branch and Elaine Cotty from Conference Direct. With Jeff's input and direction, the three of us have been working very closely on pulling together the bids, and in a minute or two, I'm going to have Elaine just tell a little bit about background before we get into the hotels as to what she did, reaching out to the various hotels and a little she did under our supervision, the negotiating. First thing I wanted to find out, did everyone on the board get their documents on all this thing?
Yes.
And and you got, just for the audience to know, they got loaded with paper. Those who read got 78 pages. Those were large print, 81 pages. We came up with a plus, okay. And because things were moving target even, and I understand even to this evening, we could not do the professional editing that should have been done, but I think you got everything you needed to help you make your decisions. Okay. We are going to be tonight talking a little bit about, and just to let you know, is either a two-year contract versus standalone contracts for the years of 2011 and 2012. So just to prep you for that. And so the little background, I'd like Elaine to talk about what she did in talking to the various hotels, how many she start off with, how she narrowed it down, so you just get a little bit of understanding, because we brought this up a year ago working with Conference Direct, and I can tell you that it made a world of difference. The estimates that we have gotten, the prices, we would not have gotten on our own. That is not to diminish the negotiating ability of Jeff Tom and Kathy Skivers and their predecessors. I mean, it is right now very difficult. The industry, the hospitality industry, is now revving up to higher prices. And we have some prices in at least our price range. So, Elaine, would you like to say a few words about kind of what you did, and the things you're suggesting us, approaches, that angles that we might take that might save us a little bit of money, like getting revenue about the restaurant expenditures and things like that?
Yes, happy to. First of all, yes, I do. Thank you. Okay. First of all, thank you all for this opportunity to be working with your group for 2011 and 2012. I really had some great teachers during this whole process between Ed and Jean and Jeff, Donna and Ken, who came out on the site inspections with us. So it really has been a great experience for me. Just to talk a little bit about Conference Direct and the type of company we are, and please, anyone feel free to ask any questions during my explanation. So Conference once again is a full service meeting management company, and so what we do is we handle services in hotel site selection, contract negotiation, conference management, housing, and registration. What we do most often is the hotel site selection and the contract negotiation. So basically, now I've gone through the process of doing hotel site selection with the group. And talking a little bit more about how we're actually paid, because we're not paid through the organization. We're actually paid through a hotel commission, which is a 10% of the guest room revenue. Now, kind of interesting, and the most frequent question that is asked of us is, how can we receive a 10% commission from the hotel without the hotel raising the rates? So very common question, a very common concern. So kind of interesting, and here's the reason why we're able to do this. Conference Direct, we've been around now for about 12 years, and the revenue that we actually bring to our hotel partners, it's a pretty high number. And so as an example, for 2009, which was actually an off year for Conference Direct, we booked 1.5 million group room nights. And so it was still a very high number of guest rooms. Hilton Hotels was actually our number one partner last year. And, the revenue they saw from Commons Direct and our customers was $65 million. So that's a huge impact for a hotel company. Our second hotel partner was Hotels and Resorts, and they booked. We booked with them $51 million. And so for them, what they're doing with us is they want to work with us. They want us to bring our customers, to their hotels. And so they really have seen the benefit in what we do. Now, there are a number of other third parties out there in the past years. At times, because they aren't bringing in a lot of revenue into those hotel companies, is that the hotels have raised rates in order to pay for those commissions. But with Conference Direct, we do assure our customers that that's not happening. Another way that we also assure that is in our contracts, we state the hotel agrees that the group could not have negotiated more favorable room rates had they negotiated directly with the hotel as opposed to using Conference Direct. So that's stated in all of our contracts. Something else that's beneficial in our contracts is hotel guarantees not to sell guest rooms at a lower rate than the guest room rate established for the group over your dates. So just a couple of clauses that are in there that are really preventing the hotels to charge higher rates because they're utilizing our services. Any questions on that at all? Does everyone,
I'll have to pass this up because we only got about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. I'll hurry then. So basically the process that we've gone through is the hotel site selection process. And so when we started the process, working very closely with Ed and Gene and Jeff, basically what we did over the past couple of months is that we were able to send out out to 99 hotels in the Southern California area. From those 99 hotels, 91 of those hotels actually responded back to us, letting us know with a bid or whether or not they were turning the actual RFP down. Out of those 91 bids, we came down to 25 hotels with acceptable bids, so meaning that they were pretty close to the rates that we were looking for and all of the requirements that we were looking for. From those 25, we went down to the final five properties that we actually did site inspections for back in October. I went ahead and set up site inspections for Ed, Jeff, Gene, and then Donna, and Ken also attended a couple of those site inspections with us. But we started in LA and then moved down to San Diego over 2 days. Just some of those items that we were negotiating throughout that process were food and beverage catering menus. There was, definitely a drop in pricing from originally what we had gone to them for and then what we actually came out with. Something I think that's a bit different that we were able to add into this process were specially priced menus from the restaurants for the attendees. And even though they're specially priced, they're reduced pricing and then they're all-inclusive pricing of tax. And there were some really great pricing that they were offering there. Other areas that we were negotiating were exhibit space, exhibit tables, looking at comped exhibit tables, exhibit space, internet in the actual meeting room. We were able to, a couple of the properties that we're still looking at are offering complimentary internet. And of course, looking at attrition, cancellation clauses, and that'll probably come more into more negotiations over the contract process. We spoke a lot about concessions, the 1-for-40 concession, comp suites, and different items like that. And then again, taking a look at transportation. So I think, a couple of things that we've been able to achieve during this process is just the really broader outreach that we had to all of the hotel properties, which gave us more hotel options to select from. We really saw, a lot of increased, I think, negotiating power throughout the process. you know, we by what I was learning from Ed and Jean and Jeff, as far as what was required for the convention, it gave the ability then to understand what I needed to ask for from the hotels. And so the more I learned from everyone, the more I have a better idea to really, you know, continue on with the negotiations. And then something that we're also doing different with this hotel is that we're now collecting historical data, which is really important when you move forward for negotiations for future years. We're now collecting historical data on revenue that is generated through the hotel restaurants. You could use that information and that revenue for future negotiations. We could add that into food and beverage minimums, so we're not so concerned about making sure that we meet food and beverage minimums. So great, you know, it also helps with your negotiating and buying power. So yet to come is really, you know, the next step is, you know, contract negotiations. And I think you'll see a really great benefit in working with conference directors, because we actually have standard pre-negotiated contracts with a lot of our hotel partners. Majority of our hotel partners, we have standard contracts. Within those standard contracts, there are 63 contract terms that are all pre-negotiated. And so, one, it makes the process much easier. You know, us being having the experience and the knowledge in being in the industry, we know which areas to really work on and to really negotiate. So, some of those areas, you know, having conversations with Ed and Jean, you know, some of those past issues that you've had as far as attrition, non-performance clauses, all those type of clauses are all going to be taken care of through Conference Direct. So they're all pre-written out. We're going to make sure that everything is detailed out on that. Any other questions at this point?
But I would only, can I have a mic? Okay. I would only add, though, just for clarification, that we will obviously be determining what, you know, we will be buying off on any contract term. It's not like the
right.
terms are going to be dictated by
Correct.
By Conference Direct. They're going to try to get us the best deal they can, and we will buy off on, you know, obviously if we don't get our better attrition clause than we already have, then we'll just keep the one we've got. But it's that's really what we're getting at.
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Gene.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And jump in if we need to on something. Okay, the convention committee looked at the fact that the hotels provided us initially a two-year contract, two consecutive years, 2011, 2012 for the fall. We asked them to give us some standalone ones, and that was a little more challenge, though we got some good rates. Some of the things would have to be, if we decide to go with standalones, we will have to negotiate further on some things. But the important things we do have and can tell you this evening. Now, first thing, I want to reassure everyone that we looked at all the holidays, religious holidays, to see that we weren't inflicting with any of the proposed dates. We are not, and that's including 2012. We also looked at that we would not be conflicting with the National Federation of Blind in California. They have only come up with their convention dates for 2011, which is October 12th and 16th, through the 16th. So to let you know that we also heard the membership saying, trying not to avoid any conflicts with any other groups of the blind, and also that with the religious holidays. Okay, so I guess the categories I'm going to do, and Jeff has asked me try not to go through every single thing, and I totally agree with him, or we'd be here for to doomsday. We're going to be looking at guest room nights, meals, exhibits,
and transportation. There are other things, other categories, and hopefully you've had an opportunity to read those things. Now, I'm going to do first just with guest rooms, and we're going to go to each hotel, and so that you can compare apples with apples. And now I'm talking about the two-year contract, and then after that, I'm going to do the standalone contracts that are being offered for 2011-2012. Before I go into that, I forgot. There are five hotels that we are looking at. Are they Crowne Plaza LAX, the Hilton LAX, the Renaissance LAX, the Hyatt Irvine, and the San Diego Del Mar Hotel. And the Hyatt, okay. Did I say the Hyatt Irvine? Okay. The two-year, this is for now, we're talking about the two-year. This is the Crowne Plaza for 2011. This is all-inclusive, tax, everything. $99 per night. 2012, $99 per night. And I think I should tell you that the minimum number of nights, guest room nights, we'd have to have is 249. And food and beverage would be $15,000 maximum. Okay, the Hilton. And again, this is all, and I'll tell you when I'm switching, this is all just the two-year ones. Hilton, 2011, $109 per night. And,
it's
100. You're right, absolutely, it's 100 and 100 in 2012, yeah. Oh, and this is for 2 years? It's the 2 year?
For the two consecutive years.
Okay, they've reduced it to $99 per night, the Hilton LAX for the 2 year contract. So they've 100 to 99. The minimum. The room number night. $284 room nights minimum. Maximum food average is $9,372.55. Now, the reason I'm bringing up minimums and food and beverage is that all these contracts, we would have to meet a specific minimum for food and beverage, maximum, and also for room nights, so that we get our meeting rooms comped, in other words, free. Otherwise, we'd have to pay rent. That is the reason I'm bringing them up. The Renaissance LAX, that is $100.37 in 2011, and then in 2012, $102.00. And minimum rooms, 226 rooms, I believe. And food and beverage would be $15,000. Now I'm going to the Del Mar Hotel. And that is $105 in 2011 and $105 in 2012. Minimum 266 room nights. Food and beverage, maximum $15,000. Hyatt Irvine, we would have $100, 2011, $100, 2012, minimum rooms, 249 minimum rooms, and food and beverage, $14,594.25. Okay. Now, I'm going to do the standalone contracts.
Gene?
Yes.
You know, I actually have an update for Crowne Plaza LAX. I spoke with Lua Ann this morning, and she did make a change on standalone for 2012. She reduced the rate to $99, all-inclusive. And then she also...
What did she do for 2011?
She's
$109.
Right, right.
Is that staying the same?
Most likely it's going to reduce, but we just spoke about 2012.
Okay.
Yeah.
What originally they were going to be offering us was $119
right.
in 2012. So to go down to $99, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
That's the Crowne Plaza.
For standalone 2012. And then she's going to keep the food and beverage maximum at $15,000. And then she's also going to waive the $600 charge for the exhibit tables.
Okay.
She really wants. guy's there.
Okay.
So that was just kind of an update that happened today.
Okay, the Hilton. This is, again, the standalone contract. $100 for 2011, $100 for 2012. Food and beverage. Now that would stay the same, which I believe is $15,000. I have to go back to the next page.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, the Renaissance LAX standalone. $137. And,
wait. Let's wait. What happened to Braille?
137?
No, wait.
Where's that?
Wait, do you have that?
For which one? 2012?
2011. Oh, 2011.
Okay, it's $137.
Well, $100.37
yeah.
for 2011 standalone, and then standalone for 2012, their rates are going up very high, and they
$147.
Yeah.
And we would have to renegotiate minimum food and beverage and all the other
yes.
rates. The Del Mar. San Diego Marriott Del Mar in 2011 would be $105. Food and beverage would be still stay $1,500 maximum. $15,000. The 2012 would be $147. Food and beverage would have to go up and be renegotiated. Hyatt. Hyatt would be in 2011 $131. And it'd be the same amount for 2012. $131 and $131.
Yes.
And then the minimum would be the I believe the same for food and beverage, $14,594.25.
Yes.
So what is for guest rooms? Now what I have for meals, and this was based on the 2-year contract information, and it could be cheaper in 2011, but this is, we would have to negotiate this, but for the Crowne Plaza, breakfast. Now, these are plated brush. These are the plated meals that we would have for our breakfasts, luncheons, so forth. These are not the hotel restaurant figures I'm giving you. Okay, for breakfast, $22. Lunch, $28. Dinner, $38?
Yes.
Okay. And then the box lunch would be $27.
Skip that. We don't do that.
That's quite a box lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plated box.
Okay. Hilton. Now, this is the Hilton LAX for breakfast. $19.
Bottom of the eighth.
Lunch, $27. And these are all inclusive rates. Dinner, $30. Box lunch, $25. Renaissance. The Renaissance for our breakfast would be $24.37. Lunch would be $28. Dinner, $35. And our box lunch would be $25.03. Don't forget that 3 cents. Yes. Okay. Del Mar, the San Diego Marriott Del Mar. Breakfast would be $24.94. Lunch would be $27.64. Dinner would be $40. Box lunch would be $25.62. Now the Hyatt breakfast is breakfast $20, lunch $25, and dinner would be $20 through $35, and box lunch is $20. Now, keep in mind, these are prices they're offering. Again, it's negotiations, like the one that said $40. That doesn't mean it has to be $40. It could be down to $35. It's what we decide on, what area's there. And it's kind of hard. You know, one place may be offering us a $30 salad, where the other one could be offering us prime rib. So that's to keep in mind. Those, you know, have to be go through some changes. Okay, exhibit rooms. And this is where, now, all the exhibit, all the hotels will have them in a room, enclosed room, no hallways, nothing like that. So you don't, that's not something we have to worry about. Including LA Crown Plaza, that they have come up with a way of us being in, I believe, two different rooms adjacent to one another. But that is something there. Okay, exhibit rooms. Now, as Elaine just told us, the Crown Plaza is waiving the $600, would have been a flat fee for 40 tables. Now it's free, correct?
Yes.
Now, if it goes over, had they told us if we had more, and though I don't think we usually exceed 40.
No.
They haven't come up with any figures for us for that then?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but that gives you the one thing. Now the, okay, now we're going to the Hilton, and the Hilton, there was not going to be any charge for that,
correct,
for that at all. And if you can, let me just go back to the Crown Plaza because, let's see, what was the guard, security guard?
Security guard is $25 per hour.
Okay, that's for the LA Crown Plaza.
Yes.
Okay.
And excuse now, me, Gene?
Yes.
I hope you don't mind me interrupting. The Giants, the end of 8th inning, or 9-0 in favor of the Giants.
It's 1-0.
Whoa.
Long ancient.
Wow. Yeah.
You went first, Kathy.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's incredible.
And so they should be able to make a contribution to our hotel thing.
Yes.
Hi, all in favor.
Thank you, Kathy. And please interrupt us at keep us updated, especially when the game's over with.
That's good news.
Okay. Now the Crown Plaza, the Hilton, it's $35 per hour for the security guard.
20 runs in 2 games.
Okay. The Renaissance Hotel. There is no charge for the tables, and the guard is $25. The Del Mar Hotel, there's no charge for the exhibit table, and the guard is $40 per hour. And then the Hyatt is, they're offering us a flat rate of $400 for 40 tables, and that covers both days. And then if we were to exceed the 40 tables, each table then would be $10 per day per table. So that's again.
Am I remembering correctly that the Crown Plaza today waived charge for the exhibit table?
They just did that just a few minutes ago, yes. Okay, transportation. Crown Plaza, they operate a van to the airport, a free van. They do not serve Amtrak or the Greyhound Depot. And we have a whole bunch, and I won't trouble people with the taxi fares from there, unless people really want that. The Hilton, it's again, it's a free van shuttle to the this LAX airport. The Renaissance, it also has a free shuttle to the airport. None of these hotels serve Greyhound or Amtrak at all. That's by taxi. The Del Mar Hotel. Now, Del Mar, they're offering us a couple things. They're offering us the discount super shuttle, San Diego, downtown San Diego, Amtrak and Greyhound depots in the San Diego port for $12 per ride. Now that, the regular rate would be $27. Then, we didn't know about this at this hotel. But the Del Mar is about, for those, it's about 10 minutes further up the road. And they have, they're willing, there is a Solana Beach Amtrak station that's 4.5 miles away from that hotel. That Amtrak station is 11 miles from this hotel. They're to offer at their expense a courtesy shuttle that they would charter at their expense to pick up people limited hours, but it'd be on Thursday, Friday, and Sunday to and from there at no charge between the Solana Beach Amtrak station to this hotel. So that is something something a little different. The Hyatt, it has a complimentary service to the John Wayne Airport. They will go at no charge to the Amtrak station, which is 9 miles away from them. The Greyhound, they not go because that's two cities over. I guess it's Santa Monica.
Santa
Ana. Yeah. Well, that's a little further.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. A little more than two cities over. Yeah. Santa Ana. So, okay. After the convention took under consideration these factors, prices, also input
that you found in those in-depth notes that we provided. The one things we were looking at about the ease of getting around in the hotels, generally it was felt the two top hotels for ease to get around, they all you can get around, obviously, because like the Hilton and the Renaissance Hotel, there's been CSUN conventions there, people have gone around, but there are a lot of open space. The Hilton has a little less than the Renaissance. But it was the feeling that the two top hotels for ease getting around with corridors and compact was the San Diego Marriott Del Mar and the Crown Plaza LA, that we've really felt that were probably the easiest. We asked about sharp knives for steak, for meat. They're all willing to provide that. Now, some, and maybe you can help me, which ones were talking about charging us to rent them. There were two of them, but they're like one hotel was $1 per knife.
I think it was the Hyatt Irvine.
Yeah.
I think was one of them.
Yeah.
It's because they got good knives.
They, then we also asked about... it was something we had, to be honest with you, it was not something we thought about until Donna brought it to our attention, and the citizens with low vision would be very pleased with one of them Donna brought up, and that was regarding having linen with a contrast with the china. And handouts and things. Generally, it's white linen, and the china is always white. And some people with low vision have had some problems seeing the contrast there. All the hotels can provide us with different color linen. Some have less choice. Like one of them is just the choice is white, beige, and black. Black seems to be a real popular color. Gives you really good contrast.
My paper.
Yeah, and some again, they would get the linen at no cost to us. Some said they would charge. There was one that would said they would charge us $15 per piece of linen. So that's to kind of give you a thing. Lighting was another factor. Looking at the lighting, the Del Mar Hotel. It's built in 2002. It's the newest hotel, but it had still incandescent light bulbs, extremely more than adequate lighting. The other hotels were all willing to try to supplement, including the Hilton particularly, was being creative of how to put in jerry-rigged lights in some of the rooms. There were two rooms they were proposing to offer us that it was mood lighting. You would need a flashlight to see anything in there. It was ideal for dancing, and that was to be the ballroom. But they were willing to bring in track lights and some lights on stands to try to supplement the lighting. I guess I'll be open to questions that people have. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Give the committee's recommendation, and then
okay.
And then let me, I want to say something after that.
Okay. But now, this is not what it's based on the information we had when we met on October 20th. The convention committee recommends first to go with the standalone contracts in 2011 San Diego Marriott Del Mar, and the second year 2012 the Hilton LAX, and that was to account the prices and also the ease of getting around the hotel and the quality of service in terms of sensitivity. The fallback was if the organization decided to consider a two-year contract, then it'd be the Hilton LAX. Now, should I take questions, Jeff, before we allow people to, for
yeah.
the public?
Two things. First, on the Del Mar, and Ken, if you will chime in if I misstate or if you have anything to add.
Sure.
The Del Mar would be wonderful in many ways. It's very compact. very easy to get around, even for me, and they haven't made a hotel that's really easy to get around for me until they put one in a paper bag. But that was pretty darn easy. I'll be nice. Gabe's making remarks over here, but since the Giants won again, I'm going to let it pass. So we could even have a couple of our luncheons outside. They have a huge outside area where they put on various, you can have meetings, you can have luncheons, and it would be very cool to have, say,
well, 450
a GDUC luncheon for 60, 60 people outside, weather permitting. We wouldn't have to do it. We could, there's room to switch back if the untoward events occur and rain, ruins the day, but these would be very cool, highly unusual, something out of the ordinary for us. The one thing I did not like, as I recall, and Ken, this is what I want you to say, is that it seemed, as I recall, their elevators did not ding.
They do.
They didn't today.
No, they didn't today?
Mike, the general manager, said that they didn't beep. I asked him because I was listening for that. But.
No, I don't think they did.
They did when we were there on the 25th of September.
Maybe they had it turned off because he said the same thing today.
He did. Yeah, he stated they didn't, that they didn't. So I don't know if that's right or wrong then, but they didn't today is all I can say.
They do have signage outside.
Signage is fine.
Fair enough. But so my second comment, though, is that the committee's recommendation is an outstanding one. We would do, getting back to San Diego would be great. The Del Mar would be a wonderful place in so many ways to have this. From a strictly dollars and cents aspect, though, I can't deny that the new two-year deal that is being offered by the Crown Plaza, even though it's definitely, the Crown Plaza, in my view, is in certain ways inferior to either the Del Mar or the Hilton, in some ways, the Crown Plaza bid is outstanding for us monetarily. The food prices aren't that high. $99 a year means we won't really have to subsidize rooms other than the tax if we choose to go that way.
Yeah.
Is that inclusive?
All of them were conclusive.
Okay, sorry. We don't even have to subsidize that. We wouldn't have to subsidize rooms. So we would really be in a very good position in terms of cutting convention costs, which, by the way, we did pretty well in the spring. We was the one thing we did do is cut our convention costs down. So we are working on that.
Mr. President, I have a question.
Well, wait a minute. We're not. Kathy, stop. We are not open to questions yet. Kathy! Kathy!
4249.
Kathy, we're not open to questions quite yet. Hold your question.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, now. I think that concludes what I was going to say, actually.
There is something else, Jeff.
Yes, go ahead, Gene, and then we'll give Kathy her question.
The one thing else is that they all offered us excellent choices for hospitality rooms. The one thing that was different with the Del Mar was, and I'll touch about the bathrooms. The Del Mar was that it is like an oversized family room with a huge fireplace that could hold tables with chairs there, with a lot of space there, and it's designed that you could go out on the patio because they have heaters out there. It's really nice. It's nothing we've not seen in any other hotel like that. And they have sofas in there if that's what we want. They could take those out. The refrigerator, they would bring that in, a full-size refrigerator. The staff one, no charge there. Sideline thing is, as all we know, the Crown Plaza LA staff there are very sensitive to our needs. That is still there. Many of the staff are still there, some incredible people. The Del Mar Hotel, because I'm bringing up the Del Mar, because that's one of the recommendations, was that the general manager has firsthand and oversees a lot has firsthand knowledge. I mean, his younger brother is totally blind, very active in Washington, D.C. He's on an advisory committee with Jeff back with AFB. And so he had already changed staff. The bell person giving me the orientation to the room, and they had no idea what I was going to be expecting to listen to. Yes, we've all gone, you know, great orientations, but to have the person tell me at the end saying, okay, now the most important thing for you to remember is X number of doors down from this room is a stairwell. Here's the emergency evacuation procedures that you were to follow, and went through the great detail about that. I've never had any hotel anywhere that is actually met, and it's part of their training, all of them there. They understand it's needed, and it's and they've trained to share that with their regular hotel guests, my understanding. So, okay, Jeff.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the last
I'm
point.
I'm going to recognize.
Oh, no, there was the last thing there. The thing is, the one thing that probably cinched us thinking about San Diego again was, looking at all these prices, we probably will never be able to afford to go back and come down to San Diego. $105 is not a charge we're going to be able to get down the road again, unless we hit some large resources of money to can subsidize it. That's not going to be possible. So, like, it was 15 years for us to get this one. I don't know if we ever will get another one to come here. And this is one of our biggest conventions.
And Gene, okay. Go ahead, Ken.
Not a question, just to add to Gene, the one thing that also was different from all those off of Century Boulevard airport up in L.A. was the security has been an issue sometimes at the hotels in L.A. And I talked to the manager today, and Mike was saying it's a very safe place. There are just a couple of office buildings and things around, and they felt that the security around there was incredibly good as far as safety.
And the bathroom, Donna reminded me of the bathrooms. All the hotels do not have any restrooms inside them that have wheelchair accessible facilities. They have them right down outside of the immediately adjacent to them, short distance down the hallway. Yes, some have a restroom within the room, but none of them are wheelchair accessible. Because it's a newer hotel, Del Mar probably has, when it comes to the guest rooms, it probably has the biggest restrooms for persons who use mobility devices. The Hyatt probably has the Hilton. Hilton probably has the best room design configuration, is that when you do enter the Hilton and you're making a straight entryway, you then have immediately to your right the side of the bed so you can transfer in there, so you don't have to get sandwiched in between a 36-inch little hallway there, and you only got maybe a few inches on either side there. But the bathroom, they all met code, existing code. The Del Mar, in their roll and shower location, the transfer space between the wall and the toilet was 81 inches. Code is 32 inches. The old room with the tub in there that's wheelchair accessible, but you have to step in. You can't wheel in. You have to step into it. Is 44 inches. So, and the rest of them were around 32 inches right there at the edge. Thank you.
Okay. Also, the Hilton has a wonderful bar. I'm going to recognize Kathy, and after Kathy's question, we're going to have the 10-minute public comment period that we've sort of inculcated as process. So, and then we'll go to the board for the conclusion of the discussion, any of your questions, anything else. So, Kathy, go ahead with your question.
I just wanted to know the number of rooms that we require or ask that we fill at the Crown Plaza.
Okay. Okay, can you look that up, Elaine, real fast?
249.
Attrition at the Crown?
249.
Yeah, I think it was 249.
249 minimum.
30% is the actual allowable attrition, and 249.
These are the minimum. We are asking regular 355, and that's all of them can meet that, 355.
Okay, thank you. All right, 10 minutes for public comment, no more than that. And I guess you'll have a mic to...
I don't see any hands going up.
Okay.
I see one hand.
Okay, we have one hand, then we'll have public comment.
I got it. Hey, Jeff, it's Eric. Just arrived for the Council of the Blind convention, and I just wanted to go ahead and right off the bat thank all the people over here at the San Diego La Jolla Marriott.
Okay, hold on. Eric, it has to be related to this discussion. This is
okay.
Not open public comment.
What is your discussion about?
Sir, Eric,
just
you're
go,
kind of
just
out
go
of
ahead.
Order.
Just refresh me. I'll help.
There's
you.
A public comment period at the end for open public comment. This
Got
is
it.
Discussing convention selection for next fall, the hotels that we've been discussing.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get
All right.
at this
and,
point.
Then say that.
Okay, I've been looking at some hotels for you.
No, Eric, that's out of order. Unless you're talking about some of the five that we are discussing, we're not looking at any other hotels.
You're not looking?
No.
Okay.
Which we went ones through are 99 hotels from Bakersfield south where
okay.
to the border. We've looked at everything.
Hilton Irvine, Crown LAX, Renaissance LAX. No, Hyatt Irvine, sorry. Hilton LAX and Marriott Del Mar. Those are the five. If you have anything to say about any of those,
I like
that's
the
fine.
Crown
okay.
a lot.
Thank you very much. Okay. Any other public comments?
Yes, two more coming.
I'm sorry.
This is Bernice. I was curious why the multiple year contracts were back to back years. Was there could there have been a year in between?
No, because we're looking at prices going up, Bernice, and we have to deal with right now is to get these before they skyrocket.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't guarantee 1-2 years, next year?
We were
year.
Lucky to get them to commit to 2012.
Oh. Very disappointing.
Okay.
Right. My only comment about the Del Mar one is it's the highest meal rates. That's the only thing I noticed. And
again, those are not hard fast.
Yeah.
They can be negotiated. Depends what we want.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
And that's
more
for
hands.
All the hotels.
This is Frank Welty. The question I have is for the various hotels, which ones have the largest variety of restaurants close to the hotel?
I think the Hilton mainly.
The Del Mar has several nearby, isn't that right?
Yes, there are, and then
Elaine?
As well as the Hilton does too.
Yeah.
Their own major, but they're not all downtown urban area. You're not going to find that too.
It's tougher with the LA airport ones than it is with the Del Mar.
The Hilton is
the
probably going to be your
it's
best
in.
Bet.
Yeah. Hilton or I mean the Marriott Del Mar. There's a ton of restaurants right nearby there. As far as the walking distance, it's probably like 2.5-3 blocks. So, yeah, so,
bend down.
I think with the Crown Blind.
Sorry. I think with the Crown Plaza or any of the LAX properties, they're somewhat in walking distance. They're fairly close. With the Marriott Del Mar, it's... like I said, a few blocks away, but they have a ton of restaurants right there.
The L.A. Hilton had probably within a block or two, and that would have been a Carl's Jr. or a Denny's.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, to fill in something to try to answer,
sure.
I have Elaine to jump in to read this quickly. We do have some rough ballpark figures of the restaurants, but the Hyatt was going to give us a 10% discount on regular menus, and the Del Mar is offering a special menu that you have a choice, or a regular menu with a regular menu with a 20% discount. And perhaps Elaine, maybe you could just those five hotels, just kind of tell what the figures in the restaurants. Do you have that information there?
Okay, we have two more people.
Well, this is Bernice was asking prices and things like looking outside where it's more affordable. That's the reason I'm bringing this up. And I just thought if Elaine or Ed has that, otherwise I'll read it in Braille.
Yeah, you know, I don't have the restaurant prices for the Hilton or the LAX properties. Okay. I know that the Marriott Del Mar, they actually put together a special restaurant menu priced that was great pricing. I think there was $12 all-inclusive for breakfast, and this is all in the restaurant. And I think it was... I can't guess. I'll have to look at my notes.
Okay,
but it worked out.
Okay,
pricing.
Here's what the LA Crown Plaza, I think the... Okay, why don't we come back to it, Jeff? Because Bernice has a good question.
We have two more people. Let's get them done, and then we'll fill in this information at some point before we finish the discussion.
Now, Frank actually covered a lot of what I was going to say. I think that the airport, the LAX area, is there's something about it that's just more... more urban, more pedestrian-friendly, more alternatives for restaurants, more public transportation, and that sort of thing. Last night, a couple of us tried to find a restaurant here, and it was really difficult, and we ended up taking a cab back because we couldn't figure out how to walk it. So I don't know. That's a concern, I think.
You also have to cross West Century Boulevard, too. Which is
I cross
El Camino all the time.
Okay, let's let Keith go. He's the last public comment person.
Coming.
No, we'll get you one, Keith. Hold on.
The question I have basically is with the transportation issues dealing with the hotel in Irvine and the Del Mar Hotel. I know last time we had a convention at the Holiday Inn Irvine, there was transportation issues because at the time you couldn't get there. The Amtrak didn't stop in Irvine, just Metrolink. And if you wanted to use Amtrak, you had to go to either San Juan Capistrano or to Santa Ana. But they also, as far as getting land transportation or ground transportation from the Amtrak station, for those who had taken Amtrak, there was no such thing as shuttle services at the time. So is there anything pertaining to that, plus more the Del Mar Marriott?
Yeah, we don't have a problem with the Del Mar.
Assuming
that you can get to Amtrak, because the Del Mar is within 4 miles of Amtrak, and we'd have the free shuttle. So assuming you could get Del Mar, and that might be an iffy proposition for somebody out in, the suburbs of Riverside. But other than that, you're not going to have an issue. The Irvine situation, I'll let Gene address, because that is a different kettle of fish.
It does not appear to have gotten any better. And I do know that at least at the last convention, when we had in Irvine, there was a very small handful showed up. There was kind of a boycott. People just understandably found it too difficult to do it. That's not what we're kind of dealing with getting here, this part of the state. We got a lot more options.
Okay, we've finished with public comment. Do we have
Ed,
that information that
Ed was going to pull up the info? Go ahead.
I just want to also mention, brought up a good point too, is with the Marriott Del Mar, they also offer a complimentary shuttle service to other restaurants that are right nearby there. So that's, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, I have...
this is restaurant stuff.
Yeah, yes, it is. Under food service provisions, the Crown Plaza LX restaurant places at the Brasserie Cafe and Grill, Brasserie Bar and Lounge, the Grab and Go area, all have the same plated menu pricing. Plated breakfasts reach $6 to $17. Plated lunches $7.50 to $15.75. Plated dinners $12 to $34. And that's Hilton LAX. Restaurant prices, plated breakfasts $13 to $17, lunches $12 to $21, dinners $12 to $21. The Renaissance LAX, breakfasts range $15 to $19, lunches $10 to $30, dinners $10 to $38. The Del Mar, they have breakfast $12 to $15, lunches $13 to $16, dinner $17 to $22.
And those are all...
Those are special menu ones.
There, it says here, there's also an additional 20% on regular price restaurant menu
discount.
Last, I think, is Irvine Hyatt, $10 to $19 for breakfast, $12 to $21 for lunch, $15 to $39 for dinners. That's your restaurant's pricing.
Okay, so before I open it back up, everyone else, to boil it all down, if San Diego is a desired option, the best standalone deal would be to go San Diego next year and the Hilton the year after that. If we don't want to go that way, cost-wise, if we want to go a two-year contract, cost-wise, for a CCB anyway, the Crown Plaza is probably the best deal. The Hilton is a little behind it, but of course we're getting a little better hotel. So they're both, those are probably the three best options we have to look at anything. So,
Mr. President?
Yes.
Are we to a place where somebody can finally make a motion?
We are.
We are. Like
yes, Kathy, we are.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I really appreciate the work the committee has done, convention committee. I think it's fantastic. I also think we take a tremendous amount of time on this now. And much as I appreciate you all, I move that we have a two-year contract with the LAX Crown Plaza.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Discussion.
Can I give my reasons?
You can now, yes.
I know that it's wonderful to be in Sacramento and that it costs a lot to come there. It may be a while. But on the other hand, we have just been there now, and we have to remember that a lot of people have to travel more distance to get there. The people who live in LAX, it'll be easier for them to get to. The airport's there. We can get down to that place. We look like the numbers of rooms. I don't think we'll have any number filling the number of rooms that they offer us. And the people have always been fantastic to us, and even I can get around that hotel. At least I probably used to walk around by myself. And I think that we should think about taking the rate is very good. The exhibit tables are free. And our dogs are always made comfortable there, I believe. And I think the rest of us were, too. So I very much would like to just go back there for 11 and 12.
Okay. Let me try to do this with one for and one against on this sort of a thing so that we can try and make this a little shorter. Do we have anybody who is in opposition to the motion?
Mr. President?
Okay.
There you go. I'm going to defer to the judgment of the chair here a little bit. If I remembered exactly how to do it, I would propose a substitute motion, but that might end up taking us a whole lot longer than we need to or want to take. I will speak in opposition to this motion because I think we've been to the Crown Plaza before, we know what it's all about, and if this motion is not successful, I would wish to move, or somebody else might move, to accept the very excellent and well-thought-out recommendations of our committee. They've studied this, they've done this work, and I think that they brought forward one of the best recommendations I have seen during my time on the board. Thank you.
One person likes me.
Well, somebody liked the committee.
Came through, Dan.
Oh, maybe that was Gene clapping.
No,
that wasn't
Gene.
Okay. Gallery. It's okay. Do we have another person for the motion? Okay. Do we have another person against, or do we want to go to the question?
Question.
All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no.
No.
I think it's close enough. We need a roll call. I think we do. I think.
I think that's over here.
You think, which way do you think it went?
I think it went no.
I think it did too, but I think it should be. I think it should be.
Let's. You're welcome.
No, absolutely. So there's no question about it.
All right, let's see if I can do it by memory one more time. All right. So this is on the.
Can you restate the motion?
Yes. This is on the motion to go to the take the 2-year contract from the Crown Plaza.
Correct.
Gene.
No.
Gene, no. Donna.
Yes.
Donna, yes. Gabe. Gabe. Let's see. Gabe, no.
You forgot who you were, huh?
He's trying to type and talk at the same time. It doesn't work. Chris.
No.
Chris, no. Kathy.
Yes.
Kathy, yes. Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry, yes. Lena.
Yes.
Lena, yes. Foster, are you still with us?
Yes.
Foster, how do you vote?
He said yes.
Well, he was saying yes.
He said yes.
You said yes. Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if that was a yes vote. That's to my question if you were with us.
You're cajoling, Mr. Secretary.
Yes.
Vince.
Yes.
Would you like to hear it again?
I think Vince sounds like Dan again.
Yeah.
Well, no, did okay. He call my name? It's hard to hear people on the phone, so I don't know if he called my name or not.
No, we
okay,
didn't.
So Vince was a yes, correct?
Hear. Yes.
Okay. Dan, now you.
Oh, okay, yes.
Dan, yes. Peter. Peter, yes. Ken.
No.
Ken, no. Linda.
I really don't know.
I saved you for last and you still don't know?
You can abstain. No, I don't want to abstain. All right. Somebody just said something to me that sort of changed my vote. So I'm going to.
Whoa. You can't discuss.
If you knew that, I would tell you which way I'm going to vote.
No discussion, just vote.
No
discussion, just vote. No.
I'm sorry, Linda, what was it?
Linda
is a no. Did I miss anyone?
David.
I'm sorry, David. David, how do you vote?
No.
David, no. Okay.
Did you get Calderon or did I miss it?
You got it.
I got him.
He's a yes.
Yes.
Did anyone happen to keep count during all of that?
6-8.
Yeah, it is. It's
either way.
You passed.
It passed.
Because I said you couldn't count.
It passed. I can't believe it.
It passed.
Oh, well. No, it passed.
It passed.
It passed.
I just don't know that.
Shocked.
Well,
as the chair. I want to thank everyone. Unfortunately, I wish we could have had thought of San Diego and Crown Plaza back to back. But anyway, congratulations to the winning side, and we're going to LA Crown Plaza, and let's support our chapters there in the Bay Area, in the greater LA area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. I just wanted to make one final comment, and that is that you know, we had some reservations expressed by some, and they were very legitimate reservations when we went into this process as to whether it would work well or not for us. And I just want to say that Elaine put an incredible amount of effort into this, and Elaine and Ed and Jean really worked very, very hard, and this was really the best process yet. The fact, by the way, that we did go to the Crown Plaza, whether or not it was the right decision, is irrelevant in one sense, because the fact that we went there was all due probably to the fact that just today their rate went down. So you can see how well this process really did work. And I think that says it all right there. So I want to thank Elaine, and let's... Okay. Oh, boy, I wish I'd have told you about that dessert at the Del Mar today. It was the best dessert I've ever had.
That would have changed their minds.
Okay. Let me find my agenda here. It's buried under everything. Okay. We are now down to fundraising committee report. Dan, you want to give a brief report?
Yeah, sure. I just want to check to see if the board received our informational handout in their packets.
Yes.
Okay. Did you guys have any questions? Do you want me to just... I should probably just review this basically for the audience and the membership.
Yes.
If anybody has any objections, I'll continue. We have been meeting as a group in Sacramento. One person, Elena Thomason, who has organized dogathons for Tri-Vigil Services in the past, and they haven't had dogathons in Sacramento for a while, and we thought, what a great fundraising event for CV, and we studied other fundraising events and some social networking type projects that could generate fundraising revenues for CCB, but I'll talk about the events. We did discuss in the fundraising committee, as I mentioned in my informational report to you, met on the, I believe it was the 20-something of October this month, a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago. And we discussed a lot of ideas, one of which was a golf tournament type idea. And the fundraising committee really didn't know what to do with a lot of the ideas and a lot of the different types of machinations of a golf tournament, like getaways and that sort of thing. So that's something we're probably going to continue to look at, but not really provide you with additional reports after the convention when we meet on our phone conference call sometime before the first of the year. But what we would like to report at the first of the year is to provide you with a proposed budget for a dogathon. I'll tell you what we mean by a dogathon. It's for it's a community event. We would our proposal, the CCB fundraising committee agreed that we would like to have two events, one in Southern California and one in Northern California. It would be really cool to have it the same day, so it would be statewide. These events are this event would be for dogs as well as guide dogs, but primarily for community communities to show off their pets, and we would work with, in conjunction with dog clubs and kennel clubs to promote this. And I know in Sacramento we have at least 9 kennel clubs, and in Los Angeles there's probably 30. It's a great way to publicize the event through the kennel clubs and to provide publicity. And, you know, our thought about this fundraiser is that, yes, we may not make money on a lot of money on the first of the year, but I mean on the first event. But you know, the cool thing is, it's great publicity, and CCB is really in need of publicity besides lawsuits. It'd be nice to just get blind people out there, or get everybody out there, and have us really promo it. And but I see this really taking off because of sort of the animal guardian movement is picking up. You know, in communities, you're seeing increased businesses that are providing things for dogs and people, and services for dogs and people in their restaurants and in the public venues. So that's where we are with this. We're running out of budget, and fortunately, Elena has been there, done that, and she's provided us with some great information. Except we sort of ran out of time because I up and went to guide dogs, and I'm here now getting another dog, so that chopped 3 weeks off of our project. So, but she came up with some dates, and the dates are on your sheet. We have some dates in April and some dates in May, and we're real cognizant of the conventions, so we want to work around that so we don't conflict, and we don't want to conflict with other, you know, blindness fundraisers that may be happening in, I know, Sacramento. Sometimes in May we have a big one that all of our chapter members go on. So we're keeping all that in mind. We have the budgetary items like posters, and we have, you know, we have about 9 or 10 items that we have as budget items. And I think, you know, there's some things we need to work out by the time we present this to the board. That's why we're doing this as an informational, such as, you know, what is the role of the chatters, what's the role of the state organization, and so on and so forth. So we're going to try to work that out and get that in. But we want to be uniform in our products that we provide, that we have for the fundraiser, so that we're somewhat standardized, and that we can start doing this every year. And there's definitely a plan. There's a calendar. There's a format. And so that's where we are now. And you know, like say we plan, we're going to bring this back to the fundraising committee, present them with the budget, see what they think, and then present this back to the board of directors as soon as possible.
Okay.
That's the first one we're working on.
All right.
Any questions on that one?
Dan, you have any other parts of your report that you want to give?
Yeah. We have this other... Hold on, let me get there. All right. The second part deals with social networking, and in the report that I provided the board. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Lily McCray for all of her assistance in this. She's been invaluable. She's been researching on the internet, and she also researched this, the following that I'm going to talk about too. So thanks to Lily for her outstanding work with us. First Giving is a website. It's a service that some of you may heard about. It's a way to get the organization that you love money and funds, and through their credit card, and it's secure. And you get, I think the figure was 92.5 maybe percent of any donation that goes to credit card fees and administrative costs to First Giving, because they have to get something out of it. So that's not too bad. And let's say on Facebook, I want to have members donate to CCB for Christmas or Christmas or my birthday or whatever. So I can just send them a link, and that will get all their friends and family on Facebook over there. Give CCB to provide a donation. But we do have some more research on that as well. We need to look and see how accessible that tool is, and I need to get a virtual demonstration going with the contact that I have there at First Giving. So when I get back to Sacramento, I'll get to work on that and work with a couple of other blind folks to make sure that it's accessible to them with different types of software as well. It's kind of a unique, and maybe we won't have a lot of revenue from that, but I think we're positioning ourselves for the future, that's my report, and I'm sticking with it.
All right. We wanted, before questions, I wanted to have Lily, are you in the room still?
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to have her give one piece of information on the store card program. I'm going to save most of the information to the president's dinner. I think we should have enough time tomorrow, and I want to tell the presidents about it because I think that's where the rubber meets the road, is getting more members involved. We haven't gotten much from it yet, but it still has a lot of promise if people get their friends and neighbors and best enemies to get those cards. But I did want Lily to let us know what revenue we had taken in so far in the few months that we've really gotten it up and running.
Absolutely. So far, the way the programs work, we have one program that goes through Save Mart, Smart Foods, Food Max, and Lucky's. And that program, we've raised $4.25. And again, that is earned by 3% of all of your purchases. So every time you go grocery shopping, if you slide the rewards card, 3% of your qualifying purchases, your standard groceries, they'll go back to CCB. Ralph's has another program. With each of these programs, they will only pay out once we reach $25. So if in a single quarter we don't reach $25, that will roll over towards the next. And then when we exceed it, they'll cut the check. So in the first quarter of 2010, we earned $12.80 through Ralph's. Second quarter was $12.52 for a total of $25.33 that we received a couple weeks ago. And two other stores you can participate with are Foods Co. and Food for Less. And to date, we've not received payment from either. So either we've not reached our $25 minimum with them, or we don't have anybody shopping there. I have sent out cards for those stores, but not nearly as many as for Ralph's and the Save stores.
All right, thank you. So any questions of either of these two for any of the fundraising items that have been brought? Just one comment on the dog-a-thon. We will be having an additional teleconference call before the end of the year to take up, this is partly off topic, but to take up not only the dog-a-thon when they have their budget to come to us, but also we need to make a determination as to whether to continue our relationship with Elaine, which I heartily suggest we do. And I intend to have this brought up because I think we need to get going right away on 2013, because if we don't, prices will go up quickly, and we don't want to wait until 2012 or even the fall of 2011 to start working on 2013 if we want to get the best deal possible for this organization and for its members. So I'm going to bring that up at the additional board meeting along with the dog-a-thon. So now, any questions of Dan or Lily on any of what they brought up?
Mr. President.
Yes, Donna.
I would like to ask Dan to coordinate with someone in Southern California who has had experience as well doing dog-a-thons to help coordinate the budget. Things may be different in Southern California as opposed to costs in Northern California.
Okay, do you have a person to recommend, or does anybody know someone to recommend that has had dog-a-thon experience? I don't see any reason not to do that, but...
Well, what I would like to ask is, I'd actually like to ask if Ken and Pam Metz could be involved in either working on the budget or recommending someone from Southern California to work
Mr.
on
President?
This as well.
Hold on. Let Donna finish, and then I'll recognize you, Dan.
That was basically it.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
I'd like Ken to do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Elena's done these before, and I would really, you know, if I would love to have Ken involved. So if Ken wants to come in on the call with you know, can we just include Ken on all the Dogathon calls if Ken would be willing?
Of course I will. Even though I always say I'll say no, but yes.
Mr. President?
Yes.
If it's decided that we go with this, I want to be certain that there is coordination and there is accountability, there's an audit trail, checks and balances, and that our treasurer is immediately involved and that money that raised goes directly to the treasurer. And that there's, again, I stress, an auditing process beginning to end, the whole thing, checks and balances. And I think, especially since this is something visible, the Attorney General's office would be breathing down our necks if we're not making certain that we're having that, and also our auditor, that we're spending a lot of money to do these records. Thank you.
We wouldn't do it any other way. You know, we're very careful in this organization so that the way we expend every dollar goes through our normal budgeting process. So
yeah, I just want.
You're absolutely correct.
I want the money to go directly to the treasurer. You know, I want to be certain that the treasurer is immediately involved.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. If we decide to do this, and that's the board's decision, that goes without saying. Absolutely.
And I absolutely would stress that there must be coordination and partnership from the very beginning. As far as dealing with the budget and all that, and I realize that Elena has done this before, that's absolutely wonderful. And there also needs to be coordination with Southern California, since this is a statewide event. Camaraderie is awesome, and I want us to do it together from the beginning.
And to be fair, though, Don, I think that's why they brought you in on it from the very beginning, because I think people realized there had to be, if this is going to work, there had to be.
And ultimately, the board is the final to say on all this.
Right. Oh, Gene, that's why I said this has to come. This is an informational item only, and I allowed questions for the report basis, but this is informational only. It has to have a budget before it even comes to the board, and then once that budget is done, it will come to the board, and the board will make a decision, yay or nay.
And
it's totally a wonderful idea, and the budget needs to come up coordinated. Northern and Southern is one, because things may be different from one part of the state to the other. So I think it's a great idea, but it needs to be coordinated from the start, even with coming up with a budget and such.
And Mr. President?
Yes, Dan.
Yeah, we also will have the liability issues all resolved by then, too.
Okay, very good. Okay, any other questions?
Well, when is there going to be a cane-a-thon?
Our canes are feeling left out. Seymour is very sad under him.
Gene, we want to make money.
Well, Gene, if you had entered my group that I suggested many years ago, we cane users would be in a much better position. But all you slackers who didn't want to
Gene,
the cudgel.
Gene, Mr. President, remember, Gene, the guide dogs are under the white cane laws?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Yeah, President.
That's because we're of you. We're more heavenly than you,
so you can walk
dog
with
owners.
Me,
Kathy.
And I'm about to scream. I hope it's appropriate for me to move at this time to accept the fundraising report.
Well, I'm waiting. I was trying to see if there was any more questions, Kathy, before that motion is in order. But is there no more questions, guys? Then your motion is in order.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? All right. It has been accepted. Okay, Kathy, you are for Newell Perry and Ellen Murphy.
All right, we'll begin with the Newell Perry Endowment Trust. The trustees are Richard Roetta, Pat Wolf, and Kathy Skybers. We are now with our title of our company now, of our book, we're so long, I hope I had them all, Solomon Stanley Smith Barney. And our lady that helps us there is Donna Andrews. She's very capable. This trust is an endowment, and we, the board, can make payments or make use some of the money for those things that are outlined in Section 3 of the Constitution. If you read Section 4 of this California Constitution, CCB Constitution, you'll see that it says what the board can do. Trustees are appointed. They serve until they resign or fall by the wayside or depart for the other world or whatever happens to them anyway, then the board selects a new person when any of those things happen. As of this morning, the fund has $187,063.20. This is up about $7,000 from the end of September. Our portfolio has a 65% in equity, and that pays dividends, and we have 35% in bonds. All of our things right now are doing very well. We were told this morning that the market went up 11% in the third quarter, and so our funds are doing very, very well. We have, well, when the things were low, when the market hit bottom, we kept ourselves where we were, as our lady and said that we didn't react emotionally to market fluctuations, that we left it in interest, and they're always reinvested. So as we reinvested those when the market was low, we bought new stocks and new things, and this resulted now that the market has come up and are doing very well. And I don't know if any of you have any questions. Again, I suggest that the board look at, and members who are interested, look at Section 4 of our Constitution, which covers the Newell Perry Fund, what it does and how it should work. And number 3 shows the purposes for this organization. And that's important because this board can not touch any of the corpus, what we put in there originally, but they can use the interest and the other money that it earns should they have to do so or want to do so, but they can only use it for those purposes outlined in Section 3, and that's my report, Mr. President.
Well, I'm going to say, and I'm not going to delve into it right now, but when I become past president, I'm going to make a plea that some of that interest be used for a purpose that I think is well within the ambit of the Newell Perry Trust and that help this organization immensely. So I'll put you on notice that I'm going to give my barrage, but not today. I'll wait till I'm a has-been and fight for it.
Okay, you'll be on the board and I won't be, so that'll be fine.
That's right. That's right. But I, you know, if there's, I just think if there's a way that we can serve the purposes of Newell Perry and help continue our services and do things that will help our budgetary standing and all these goals are furthered, I think we need to find a way to get that done. So I'm going to make that statement.
The goals in Section 3, and it says that the money can be spent for any of the purposes of this organization that are outlined in Section 3. So that would be probably pretty easily done.
Yep. Okay. Any other discussion? There's a motion to accept.
Second.
There's many seconds. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. All right, the report has been accepted, and we'll move on to Ellen Murphy.
The Ellen Murphy Trust Fund is completely restricted. Its purpose is to assist blind women and women who are visually impaired or blind who are 50 years and older with special needs. When the current trustees are Pat LaFrance Wolf, Abigail Vincent, and myself. And we have a pretty good background. As you all know, Pat was an RN, a nurse, and then was a great rehabilitation counselor. Abby worked for over 20 years with battered women and people who had problems and rape victims and others who had really, really difficult problems. So we come together pretty well. We work well together, and we have usually spent around $25,000 to $27,000 a year. As of October 20th of 2010, we have spent $15,967.38, on six people, and the reasons we spent it for was moving expenses for someone who had to be orthopedically and not able to live upstairs. We helped them move. We helped another person maintain their residence. So we helped someone who had a dental problem that was getting to be life-threatening. And we had the glasses that we helped with and other people that we helped stay in their home and not lose their home. And we, according to Jim Giordano, who is with UVS, and he and his father, Mike, are advisors, as of today, we had $247,512.65 in our account, of which $6,235.28 is cash. We always keep cash available so that when we have to help someone, we don't get into the business of having to give away, break the thing to be able to accommodate them. At the end of September, we had $245,159.60 and a cash of $55,47.50. Through the year, to date, we've had $9,174.91 in interest and dividends, and we had a wonderful member of ours, who dare let us say his name, gave us $5,000 on March 8th, and we were so grateful for that. When you add up the $9,174.91 and that $5,000 contribution, and you know that so far this year we spent $15,967, we didn't have to hit much of our principal at all. We think we're doing pretty well. We have a $20,000 bond with Ford Motor Company. A long while back, it looked like that wasn't going to do much good for us. It was paying us some interest, but now it's due on February 1st, and it looks like we're going to get it. And Ford's doing very well right now. So when it matures, we're going to have our advisors help us put it in a place where hopefully it will make more money. And that is the end of my report.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions? Do I have a motion to accept this report? There's a motion. There's a second. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion adopted. Okay.
That's why we should have come back to
see. We're now on item 13. Which is discussion of contract for Southern California vehicle donations. Just as an aside, before we get to that, I have recorded three ads for VDPC that which will air sometime after the election. There was just no way we're going to get any airtime after that. So we will have some things coming up on KCBS, and hopefully, you know, come January, the new president will see some nice dollar figures out of that. We'll see. We'll see if it works, because if it doesn't, they're not going to want to do too much more advertising. But we're hoping. The last time we did some, it did pick up briefly. And so we convinced them to do some more. And, you know, we saved them the money to get a rank amateur like me to record them rather than a, you know, whoever their professional is. So we'll see what happens. This is the Right Way company that Right Way Charity Services. We looked very carefully, and we didn't really have, there was one that wouldn't take our business. There was one that was unreputable. There really weren't a lot that were essentially primarily serving Southern California. There was one in Rancho Cordova that said they serve Southern California, but I didn't really like what they had to offer. This was the only one, and it is far from perfect, that I found that really served Southern California, and I felt could give us something. They serve a lot of charities down there. They do their work primarily on the internet. They will, by the way, and this did not come here, proposal, and this is not a great thing, but it could be. They will do advertising for you based on a 70-30 split of the costs, which I just got this email the other day, and I'm trying to think who pays the 70 and who pays the 30. I think that you pay the 30, actually, and they pay 70% of that cost. So, for example, let's say we made, you know, in the 3 or 4 month period with those guys, you know, $6,000. We could decide conceivably to put $2,000 in, and they'd match it with four, basically, and we could do some advertising. But it's not like Vehicle Donation Processing Center, which if they decide they're going to do it, and frequently they don't, but they decide they're going to do it, they pay for it themselves out, and then, you know, you don't have to essentially eat into whatever profits you may have made or whatever to, you know, whatever money you happen to have to pay for part of the advertising costs. So there is a way to do advertising with those folks, but it's going to be costly, and unless we're really making some money out of it, I don't necessarily see us putting, you know, our money into that. However, having said that, and having, you know, my view that, you know, this isn't necessarily the perfect contract, I think we'd probably make something, and something is better than nothing. The way they do it, if you read the contract, all of you have, or skimmed it, the way they do it is they do the auctions themselves, which is a good thing, I think, because it saves money from contracting with the auction companies. They then take a $300 off the auction price. You never lose on a car. You may get zero, but you never lose. They take $300 off the auction price. They then take various costs for, you know, things that they do, including the cost of running their auction and things like that, that were allocated to the car. And after they've taken off those costs plus their $300, and the costs are listed in the proposal, you get what's left. So, but you never lose anything on a car. You know, they don't do that. You just may, conceivably, you may not get anything, I guess, if it didn't net out. But you also get something for cars, a little bit of cars that they find aren't running and aren't really saleable. You get a little bit for that. That's basically the story on this contract. The reason I did it is I really felt that VDPC is concentrating very heavily in Northern California, and that we needed a better presence in Southern California. And I think this is probably the best way we could do that. Their references checked out. They have a lot of charities down there, which may be good or may be bad, but they clearly do operate for a lot of charities. So it would be internet, basically, unless we decided to help fund advertising. And like I say, it's not all that I want it to be, and I certainly am not going to feel slighted if the board decides they don't want to go with these guys. But on the other hand, money is money, and if we get $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, that's money we didn't have before. So that's, I think, the end of my presentation. I'll leave it open to the floor for questions and a motion if anybody chooses to make it. By the way, the contract would go to July, but there is, there was ways to get out of the contract. After that, you know, like 30 days notice, you can get out for breach. There's a lot of ways to get out of this contract, and I don't really see any problem in terms of that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had asked to have, and it was sent, a copy of the contract we had with the first Vehicle Donation people we were with. And I thought we needed a basis of comparison, because a lot of us, people in our group, had never seen the contract we have. I hope it was helpful. But I have a problem with this one. I realize we need more money, we should have. But this contract had a number of things that troubled me. First of all, they say they represent 100 charities, and that's fine. because if 100 charities each got one car, they'd do very well because they would have their part of 100 cars, but the charity would only have the part of one, and they were good enough to send us some people to show what they were with. But one, I thought there was a very odd one they sent to us where they asked a question of where these got and how much, and this person said they didn't know. I think if they had 100 charities, they could send us a couple of letters that spoke more highly of what they get from them than they did. And I thought they concentrated way too much on the legal ramification. If you don't do this, they'll take this action. And we never saw that. That seems to me that it warns you that you might have need for legal assistance. So if we did take them, I sure would want an attorney to go over this with fine-tooth comb, because it just seemed to me there was way too much the legality in this thing. If you have a trustworthy agreement between yourselves, I don't think you'd see all that. So I don't feel this is a good risk. And as far as publicity, sure, if we can get another group that can really come up and give us money, it's fine to have the California Council represented by two groups. But if we're not, then I think we better watch carefully, try to find somebody a little bit.
Okay. Anyone else?
I think in most cases in an organization, there is an inertia not to take action. And certainly there are often problems that can be pointed to. The problem I'm going to point to is that CCB will spend nearly $100,000 we don't have in 2010. Is this an ideal contract? No. Maybe not. Is it a contract that will generate a predictable amount of money? No, probably not. Do we have the money to pay attorneys, other than our president, to review this contract? Absolutely not. And as far as I'm concerned, that's just money wasted. I think this is a good possibility. It generated $5 next year. That would be $5,000 we don't have.
No.
And so I move that we enter into this contract with Right Ways, that we do it for the period of time that our president has suggested, and keep our fingers crossed and hope for the best.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. I am going to agree with Chris. If I would not support spending any money to send this to an attorney. We don't have the money to do that. And, you know, shoot, it would cost us minimum $1,000 just to get some information back, and probably more. And, you know, who knows what this contract is going to get us? I don't know. But, I mean, hey, if it was bringing in big bucks, then we might want to send it to an attorney because it would be worth it. But in this case, I would agree with Chris that until we knew it had some real merit to it, why bother to waste money having an attorney look at it? It's a lot of that is strictly, you know, a lot of that is strictly form type of language that, you know, these guys contract literally, you know, dozens and dozens of charities, and so they're going to put those things in there. They had an attorney draw this up. You know, I see contracts, I see language like this. I don't see it as horrendous. You know, I certainly, as I said, and I agree with Chris that it's not the ideal thing, but I think it's better than nothing.
Mr. President?
I heard Dan first and Donna second, right? Okay.
Yeah, I'm leery of the language too, and I think we need to do more than just cross our fingers, and I'm going to vote no because it just didn't seem right to me, so that's the way I stand.
Okay. Donna?
Mr. President, I wish I would have thought this before, but there's another organization that we hear about a lot in Southern California called Cars for Causes, and it is all over the place. And you can choose
you know, you go to them and you know, find your dirty under there. And I'm very concerned with the language as well, and I would...
Was that the one that didn't want to... Didn't, yeah, they would not serve us.
They wouldn't?
No.
Okay. Why?
We did our research, Donna. Believe me.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you hadn't. It's just that I didn't... you said they wouldn't serve us, and maybe this is out of order. I'm just curious.
No, it was not out of order at all. It's a legitimate question, and that's my legitimate answer.
But do we know why they wouldn't serve us? I'm not questioning the legitimacy of your answer. I just, you know, here comes the crooked letter. Do we remember why?
Say what?
The crooked letter. Do we remember why? You know, why wouldn't they serve us? Why?
Tend to go with national level organizations.
Well, you answer that. I can't
Mr.
remember.
Mr. President.
I can't. Go ahead. And Ed's going to take field that answer.
There were two other groups we looked at. One had legal problems. They were in the courts in California, and I think another state, Pennsylvania or something. And this was the one, I do believe, that said... that due to the scope of our organization, they declined to entertain a contract with us. They were dealing with national level organizations, and we were small peas.
Okay.
Don, is that all of your, do you have anything else?
No, that was.
Okay.
That
was, now then we'll go to Gene.
But I am concerned.
I think this is also, I think they
I don't
have done.
Go ahead, Gene.
I believe they have also done advertising on KGO in San Francisco and for kids thing, and apparently I heard that there was a lot of people got so sick of the commercial that it actually backlashed on them that there really was anything else for a kid's organization.
That's out of New Jersey. That's a different,
that's a different
entity.
That's Cars for Kids.
Yeah. Okay.
No, no, no. That's not our, that's not this entity. Those guys are from New Jersey. In fact, one of the ads I did took a shot at them. The smarmy jingles from the company in New Jersey. Yes, yes. No, no.
Another political change.
Believe me, I would not even consider a company like that. For one thing, we want a company that's in the area. And so, you know, whether we do this one is you know, one thing, but we clearly aren't going to do something like that. Any other questions or discussion? Okay, hearing none, we want to proceed to the vote.
Yes.
All right. All those in favor of Chris's motion to enter into a contract with this entity, Right Way Charity Services, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Okay. We need a roll call vote.
Yes.
And we will take it. Gabe, we're keeping Gabe busy tonight.
Okay. Can somebody please help me keep count here again?
I did it too, but I just didn't say it.
Okay. Gene.
No.
Gene, no. Donna.
No.
Donna, no. Gabe, no. Chris.
Yes.
Chris, yes.
Oh, did I say no?
I got in a habit. I said the wrong thing. Can I change my vote?
You did.
What?
We heard you. It's 3-1 so far.
Yeah, I know. I meant to say yes. I got in the habit of saying no.
Oh, you meant to say yes? Here, you changed
that's
your vote to yes.
It's friendly.
It's friendly to me.
I started writing no's and I got in that habit. I'm sorry. Okay, I think
so
we're 2-2.
You are a yes.
I am a yes. Okay. We currently have 2 no's and 2 yeses.
Okay.
That high I can count. Now it gets dicey. Kathy.
No.
Kathy, no. Jerry.
Yes.
Jerry, yes. Lena.
No.
Lena, no. Foster.
No.
Foster, no. Vince.
No.
Vince, no. Dan.
No.
Dan, no. Jackson.
Yes.
David, yes. K, Ken.
Yes.
Ken, yes. Peter.
Yes.
Peter, yes. Linda.
No.
Linda, no. Did I miss anyone?
6-8.
8-6.
No.
What's that? 8-6 no's?
8-8 no, 6 yes.
Okay. All right. We will now go on to the.
Try another one.
Is it public comment? I'm trying to look this up.
What was the vote?
It was 8-6. 8 no's, 6 yeses.
Is it no or yes?
Eight
no. 8 no's, 6 yeses. And so I hope that the next president can do a better job of getting some vehicle donation income because
they sure as heck better.
It's a problem. Because it's going down and down. Okay, we are now at public comment.
I have one hand.
This is Lorraine Brown of Silicon Valley Chapter. This is in regards to the grocery cards. I want to tell people, first of all, I am very happy to see that it's expanded to so many grocery stores. I want to give you a little bit of background. 10 years ago, I worked for a company called School Pop. And my last year there, we did a trial period with a grocery chain in Maine called Shaw's. Okay, it was going to go for 8 months or $250,000, depending on which first. The company would give School Pop, well, the schools, 2% of the purchase price. Here we're getting 3. Okay, after they made the schools in Maine, ones that had never gotten checks before were for individual schools, the parents would get the cards, go to the grocery store, and make the purchase, like here. Within 2 months' time, schools were getting $5,000 and $10,000 a month. By the end of December, Shaw's had donated $500,000 to schools, and it was only in 6 areas of Maine that this was going on. So all I'm trying to say is, if everybody took one of the cards and used it, and I might say that I think $54 is pretty much almost donated by me, because my daughter and I have been using it a lot. So people, if you get behind this program, the CCB could get a heck of a lot of money.
Thank you very, very much for that comment, because it's absolutely true. Okay.
One more.
Someone else.
Yeah, I want to just follow on Lorraine's comment that I've had questions from members. It seemed as though we were kind of, stingy about handing out the cards, at least at the beginning. And this person questioned why we didn't really blanket the world with them instead of just handing out a few of them.
Well, at the beginning, we had a problem with the stores, and it didn't get into the system, and so we had to actually stop for a while because it wouldn't have worked. Uh-huh. We don't want to be stingy. If people are going to give them out, and they're going to really give them to people, we'll get as many as we can possibly give. No, that was a problem of that we had no control over. Okay. Believe me, Roger.
The other thing that I wanted to talk about is, again, I owe a nod to Lorraine. I'm curious to know what the status is from the convention committee about the hotel for the spring, for this coming convention in May. Lorraine, among other people, and by the way, I think Eric Skyver said this too, from the point of view of a sighted person, that the hotel is impossible to get around. And just curious as to, you know, whether we have a super dynamite hotel description team or something.
I don't have an answer to that.
Mr. President?
Robert Wendt. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, to going back to the different chains of grocery stores in this program, do you know whether, or does anyone know whether Bel Air and Raley's are going to get involved in something like this? Because I know a lot of people.
What are you asking?
Bel Air, Raley's, Bell Market. I think we looked into
Philly,
it.
They do not have a program like that. They sponsor national programs or very large programs where when you go shopping, you can buy like a ribbon that they stick on the window, things like that.
Okay, I just wanted to find out because I know that's where we shop, and we know a lot of people. That's where those are the two chains that they shop in the Sacramento area. So that's the reason I was asking.
And Roger will certainly work with the convention committee. That's a legitimate concern, and I totally get it. So we'll make sure that we have a description developed early on so we can refine it and do what needs to be done to make it as
well,
good
we
as possible.
We're working on it. We got an orientation mobility specialist to work on it. Yes. And, you know, when you got volunteers, you can't dictate as to when they can or cannot do things. So I got a very competent O&M specialist that's working on this right now.
Great. Okay. We have another comment? Okay.
Yeah, this is Robert Wendt. I have a question about the market program. It'd be a good idea for us to put that on our homepage, I mean, right where people can see it when they identify our website.
Excellent suggestion. Excellent. We'll do it. Okay, anyone else?
No more hands.
Okay, I have a couple things before we get to Kathy's comments.
One other hand, last moment.
Lena, I'll recognize you, but let me do something first. I want to say I want to recognize a couple of our board members. She has served with Ken Metz for a long, long time on this board, and on and off and on and off. And it's been a pleasure to serve with you. Ken's a hard worker. He gives a lot of thought to his positions, and he's done and will continue to do an incredible for this organization. So let's give a round of applause for Mr. Metz.
Thank you.
And of course, we're also losing Kathy Skivers. This is her last public board meeting anyway. And more is there to say to Kathy? I mean, you know, it'll be a very strange board next year without you on it. And all the energy, the passion, the thought-provoking influence that you have, you know, there's just, it's replaceable. And we'll have to, slog way on without you, but it's going to be very, very tough. Let's give a real round of applause to Kathy. Okay, Lena.
I just wanted to make a quick announcement that the resolutions are due by the end of general session tomorrow, and Frank, Welty, and myself are accepting the resolutions, so you could give it to either one of us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. President, I have one comment.
Yes.
I never realized how difficult it is to hear the board through the phone. And
we're laughing at you, Dan, because Kathy made the exact same comment earlier today. And you are so right. We know that. But what can we do?
Okay.
You know,
you've been there and done that. Okay.
No, your comment is
technology to improve it. That'd be great. Thank you.
The ACB president is here, but we don't really care, so we won't bother to make a big deal about it. That's what Ed Brandt said. I would not dare say such a thing to my president. Okay, Kathy, it's your turn.
It's my turn?
It's your turn.
Okay. I asked Jeff if I could make some comments. I think those of you who know me well, and even some of you that know me too well, know that if I could be there, I would be, and I wish I could, particularly for this one, because there are so many things I wanted to do. And first among them was to thank Jeff for being our president for 8 years. I know from personal experience what a job that is, Jeff. And you left it out 2 years longer than I did. And you've really been a great role model for us. It's not everybody that has a president who has been named Lawyer of the Year by his own peers and worked at his job and with the legislature for over 30 years. And I don't know how you put up with him. It's always hard enough for me just to walk in and talk to him a while and go. But anyway, you've done so well, and we're so proud of you. And if I was there, I really was going to get up at the convention and banquet and cause a problem, because I just think that after the way you sent me away, I needed to do something in return. But anyway, Daryl and Eric and I have you there. We bought our share of tickets, and we urge everybody else to do so. And there's an election tomorrow night, and boy, do I wish I could be there to vote and roll around in my chair and talk to people about who I want them to put in there. But anyway, I'm leaving this board, and I've been on it for 21 years in one capacity or another. And I know some of you have been very kind or just as fond of me as I am of you. But I'm a realist, I think. And I know darn well, or so I'm going to say, oh, God, finally, there she goes. But don't be of such good cheer, because, you know, I'm only leaving the board. And when you're off the board, you can even make more noise than when you are on there. Because I've always felt you ought to be a little bit polite when you're on the board. And when I'm off, I won't have to be polite at all. But anyway, thank you all for being good friends and working hard for the council, and although I won't be on the board, I'll be right there. And if I have kind of annoyed you all who are on the board with me now, you got to blame Jeff, because if he hadn't been president for 8 years, you'd have been rid of me a long time ago, because as soon as he quit being president, I'd be immediate pass. So now, Jeff, you're immediate pass, and you're going to be that for the
president. That's the only reason you wanted me as president, so you could stay in as past president. I know that, Kathy.
You're going to be a past president come January 1st.
Thank you, Kathy, for the very kind words. Let's give Kathy a round of applause again.
And I did get the present I was going to get, because I haven't been able to go out the top. But things are looking better, because I bought a lotto ticket, and if I hit it, you'll really get a present. So thank you again, everybody. And I just wanted to say that I congratulate you all. And everybody get out there and vote, not only tomorrow night, but for heaven's sake, vote on the 2nd of November.
Okay. Anyone else? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moves
and seconded that we adjourn the pre-convention board of directors meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Meeting is adjourned.